I speak to you today in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before I even begin, I'm going to tell you I take no credit. I do not write sermons. I borrow them. So today I give thanks for Peter Davidson, who has kindly provided sermons for all of people like me who just don't have the skill of writing them. It has been a busy and chaotic week. We have celebrated Canada's national holiday, followed closely by American Independence Day, both clouded by the smoke of forest fires and the reality of climate change. Internationally, France has been torn apart by riots following the police shooting of a 17-year-old at around a routine traffic stop. While Ukrainians fight to regain territory lost to Russian forces, and Russia itself has been dealing with a rebellion which may yet be the beginning of further upheaval, both internationally and globally. On top of all this, a labor dispute at the Port of Vancouver could affect the whole Canadian economy. At the same time, General Synod, the gathering of Anglicans, Lutherans, and Moravian Church Christians in Calgary, welcomed the Moravians into full communion. And for those who don't know, and I didn't, the Moravian Church broke away from the Catholic Church in 1457, 60 years before Luther, and 100 years before the Anglican Church. This year also celebrates 20-plus years of Anglican-Lutheran cooperation, which was celebrated alongside the specific business of the Anglican General Synod. 20 years ago, there was national media coverage of this event, the welcoming of full communion. But this time, it passed without mention. Then, the various medias have also been dealing with significant problems of their own, leaving us all to wonder how and where we shall find ways of being reliably informed about local and global happenings. The readings for today invite us to think about these things because they highlight issues which are both biblical and contemporary. The story of Isaac and Rebecca highlights the tensions between tribalism and our desire to live peacefully with others. Isaac's servant, despite his mandate to find a bride for his master, goes unnamed throughout the whole story. Like many throughout history who are deemed unimportant, he tells God his criteria for discerning the perfect bride for his master. She will come to the well where women gather and not only offer him a cup of water, but will also offer to water his camels. In his letter to the Romans, Paul confesses his own psychic turmoil as he admits his failures to live up to his Pharisaic ideals, but rejoices in Christ who has saved him from himself. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus notes how people rejected John the Baptist for being too strict, then Jesus himself for breaking too many rules. He concludes with his famous but paradoxical saying, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Centuries later, St. Augustine of Hippo perhaps summed it up when he said, "Love God and do what you will." When we commit ourselves to a life of unconditional love, we no longer need the 613 Jewish laws extracted from the Hebrew scriptures and the bewildering complexity with which they were interpreted and applied. If we apply all this to today, it often boils down to the tension between the ideal and the real. Of course, we all have dreams of an ideal or perfect world. The great Union psychologist Marion Woodman entitled one of her books, "Addiction to Perfection." The problem with perfectionism is that it makes us feel we can never be good enough, while at the same time, it makes us ceaselessly fault-finding and critical of others. It turns us into hypocrites who cannot see our own dark side while condemning in others what we cannot see in ourselves. Politically and economically, we divide ourselves into parties who pretend to have all the solutions to the issues of the day, while condemning their opponents for being the embodiment of evil. Perhaps this is why we tend to be leery of extremists, whether they be fascists or communists, of the left or of the right. For in the end, fanatics become mere images of each other. Paul the Pharisee started out as a persecutor of Jesus' movement until he was confronted by the risen Christ on the road to Damascus and became in many ways the founder of Christianity. In today's reading from his letter to the Romans, he confesses, "The good that I would do, I do not. The evil that I would do, I do." What saves us from cynicism and despair is a sense of humor, which ideologues and tyrants lack because they have a desperate need to be in control. Humor, of course, is related to humility, which is not about putting ourselves down, but simply about having a sense of perspective. Some of the world's finest leaders have been noted for not taking themselves too seriously and being able to laugh at themselves. By way of contrast, the Greeks linked hubris or overwhelming pride with nemesis or retributive justice. If power corrupts, it's because it tends to make us feel overtly self-important. Two words we tend to use in describing those we trust are integrity and authenticity. Authenticity refers to truth and genuineness, while integrity describes wholeness. Both require that we avoid half-hearted or one-sided pictures of ourselves and one another. If religion is receiving a bad press these days, it's because it has sometimes been co-opted by unscrupulous politicians and autocrats, or corrupted by leaders more full of themselves than of compassion for those entrusted to their care. May we always remember that Jesus' own ministry was characterized by his passion for truth and a strong sense of humor. May that be true of us too. Thanks be to our God of laughter and compassion. Alleluia. Amen.